Welcome to this Sunday message for Sunday the 30th of March 2025. We'll start this message off with two short scriptures. The first one is from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading verse 16 and 17. That's Romans chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Another short scripture from the book of Hebrews, one that we are well acquainted with, Hebrews 11 verse 6. That's Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We trust that it will be a blessing to us as we listen to you, Holy Spirit, revealing God's thoughts to our minds. And by your grace, may we put them into practice. We thank you that your word is an infallible guide, and may we align our lives with it as best we can. We ask this in the precious name of Yeshua. We have been doing a series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and last week we spoke about the joy of the Lord. I'm using this opportunity to perhaps digress a bit, but not really. The title of this message is Faith Begets Faith. We read in that Romans scripture how the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Faith to faith. Now, although just inserting a teaching on faith at this stage might seem a divergence from the fruit of the Holy Spirit, let me remind us that the two are inseparable. You and I will not be able to operate in the fruit of the Spirit if we do not understand faith. We have to apply faith. The Bible also says that faith works by love. Well, you and I won't be able to love anybody the way God wants us to without exercising faith. It takes faith to choose to love the unlovely. And so I just felt that it's very important for us to insert this teaching on faith as the Holy Spirit has revealed it to me. Now that scripture speaks about faith unto faith. The point is that your and my faith has, if I can put it this way, a series of layers. You and I don't just suddenly have faith for something. Real faith presumes a whole number of steps that lead up to that particular ability to believe. It's very much like building a house or some form of apartment. You can't go straight to the roof, obviously. But not so obvious is the fact that you cannot build just the walls and the internal structures without first building the foundation. It's common sense, really, that unless the foundation is set in place and set properly in place, any further building is pointless, because the next layer of building, the brickwork, etc., has got to rest on that foundation. When we finished with the rest of the brickwork, then it's time for the roof, and then it's time for the fittings, etc. You can't do it the other way around. And so it is with your and my faith. My experience has been that many people in the kingdom of heaven have a faith, as it were, blockage. Why? Because fundamentals have not been put in place. And I'm going to just be sharing a few of these fundamentals with us in this teaching, because they are so critically important. And you see, you and I have got to look at ourselves honestly, and we've got to, as it were, build the right foundation, our teaching in its own. But let's just start with the fundamental principle in building our faith. And that is very simply that we must believe that God exists, that he is real. It's quite possible to have an intellectual understanding of God. If I can put it this way, a theological understanding of God. A vague concept of God out there somewhere, maybe. Now you see, if we have that as our understanding, we will never ever be able to develop true biblical faith. That's why I'm so grateful to God that at the very start of my Christian walk, God revealed himself to me. Not in all his fullness, obviously, but I became conscious of that fact that God is real. And nothing can shake me from that belief, even though circumstances through the last 40-odd years of my life have very often shouted in my ear that he doesn't exist. I can't shake off this reality. I know that I know that I know. And you see, until you and I have that revelation, that's why an experience of the Holy Spirit, whose function is to make God real to us, is so critically important. You see, we've got to know in our hearts that God is real. But having said that, my point is that this is not enough in itself. We notice in that Hebrew scripture, whoever comes to God must believe that he is. All right, so there we go. We started off with that. But the Bible also says, makes this point. The devil, the demons know that he is, and they tremble. That's not enough. We've got to move on in our faith from that point, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. There's a process, you see, of developing this, not only faith in God's existence, but in his ability to manifest on our behalf in this time and in this place, in the land of the living, as it were. A vague understanding of God one day when you die by and by is all very well, but it won't help us in the day-to-day affairs of life with which God is intimately concerned. So you see, that's the starting point. The next step we have to take in this whole process, and this is where so many, many children of God have, as it were, fallen off the bus. We have to come to the place where we recognize that God's word is exactly that, his word. Our final authority has got to be the word of God. In our minds, if the word of God says it, that's it. But you see, to come to that place, it presupposes the fact that we know that God is real. Many people have a lot of arguments to say, oh, the Bible is written by man, subject to error, etc., etc. And all of those arguments might sound very clever. But if you and I have a recognition of the living God, a realization of his existence, his reality, as manifest in Christ, if we don't have that, we can't really believe that he could have written a book. The other side of the coin is, if we do understand that, with simple logic, we can come to the conclusion, well, if God is real, and if God is who he says he is, if God is really God, then he's quite capable of getting to us a document that helps us to understand him. However he might choose to do that, and as the Bible describes, he has chosen to use man to do that, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But you see, if we do not come to this conclusion in our hearts, that what the Bible says is the truth, that is it. We might not understand it fully. There might be different aspects to it that we do not know at the moment, but his truth ultimately is contained, is confirmed, is ratified by his word. We have to come to that place. And it's been my experience that very often Christians might give, as it were, lip service to that. But when it comes to the crunch, they don't really believe it. You see, it's easy to give mental assent to the fact, yes, I believe the word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, whatever. Every single word I believe is true. However, when confronted with the truths of God's word, especially truths that run totally counter to our logical way of thinking, the big question is, do we really believe it? You see, do we believe it enough to act on it, to put our lives on the line for it? Can you see? Until we come to that place, your and my faith will never ever grow. Why? Because faith is based on the word of God, the written word, what God has said. Faith comes, grows by hearing his word. And God will never say something to you and I that he hasn't already implied or said specifically in his written word. And so you see, when you and I want to exercise faith for anything, we need to find out what the word says. But you see, if we don't really believe that the word of God is the word of God, even though we might see it in the Bible, we just can't receive it. We won't be able to receive it. I had dealings with perhaps one of the leading theologians in the country. I went to speak to him about certain issues, and we had a chat, very pleasant individual, obviously a fine, dedicated Christian all his life. But when I asked him a few questions, and when he gave me a few answers, I got a queer sensation. And although I didn't understand it at the time, when I thought about it afterwards, I realized, to my horror, that here this leading theologian, Christian intellectual as it were, at the end of the day, didn't really believe that the word of God was God's truth. He had a number of very clever theories about it. He was perhaps on the cutting edge of theological conjecture about the Bible. But you see, because he didn't just accept, well, yes, the Bible is our starting point. What it says is the truth. We have to find out what it has said. That is the question. Not what we think about it, but what it actually says. Not what human intellect has conjectured about certain things. What does the word of God say? And the debate needs to hinge around what he has actually said. Can you see? And if that is not the case, if we have in our minds, or even in the back of our minds, that yes, the Bible is sort of a religious document, but maybe it's outdated, or perhaps we humans have got a bit more clever than that now, and we know a bit more than they used to know when it was written. Can you see all those thoughts? And yes, we probably do know more. But the God who wrote the Bible knows much more than we will ever know. And you see, the debate is how to interpret and find out what God has said, not what we would think that he wanted to say. Very subtle, this, actually. But you see, until we are prepared to accept the Bible at face value. And for example, that would mean that when God says, by his stripes we were healed, we agree, yes, I was healed. That's it. And you see, that is the starting place, as it were, for you and I to develop our faith. So you see, to develop our faith, we've got to understand that God is real, and that to help us with our faith, he has given us his word. His word is designed to be used for us to develop our faith. If we do not have faith in his word, you see, faith in him begets faith in his word. When we have faith in his word, we're able to believe the things that his word says. If we don't have faith in his word, when we hear what he says, something inside of us says, oh, well, that's just for church. That's for other people. A whole lot of other reasons why it can't apply to us. And you look at some of the statements that the Lord Yeshua made when he walked on this earth. For example, one thing he said is, all things are possible to him who believes. Just think about that. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. For us humans, that statement alone is very hard to really believe. But if, you see, we have in our minds this idea that, well, Sometimes the Bible is true, but in other cases it's not. Immediately we'll say, oh, well, yes, you can believe for your salvation. Yes, you can believe to live a godly life, but you can't really believe God to feed you. You can't really believe God to heal you. Another statement he made is that if you believe in your heart that what you say will come to pass, you can have whatever you say. My goodness me. You can have whatever you say. Now you and I can read that and it will actually wash right over us. Our heart of hearts will say, well, that's just a myth. That's a fantasy. That's wishful thinking. But that's what the Lord of glory said. It's possible for you and I to have what we say. I didn't say that. Many other preachers have not made that up. That's what the Word of God says in Mark chapter 11. But you see, before you and I can see that happen in our lives, there's something that we've got to believe before. We've got to believe that what we say will come to pass. And if you and I don't really believe that he meant that when he said that, we'll never really believe that everything we say will eventually come to pass. We can't. Our faith is short-circuited. So you see, we've got to realize that the Word of God has got to be approached with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean we take one little scripture here and there out of context. But if you look at the whole of scripture together, you and I can quite easily come to the place where we realize that is what the man said, and we have to learn how to believe that what he said is what he really meant, and what he really meant can really apply in your and my life. But you see, that is impossible. That position is impossible if we don't, first of all, really believe that God is out there. That is a real being, more real than everything we can see, think, or touch, more real than anything else, reality itself. And then, from that understanding, that belief system, that faith, that conviction, that firm conviction, personal conviction, the next stage is to believe that what he has written is so. It's our final authority. If God says, give and it shall be given, that is it. The key to getting is giving. If we really believe the scriptures, what does it say? Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders. Let them anoint with oil. And what? The prayer of faith will heal the sick. That's possible. That's possible. Every form of sickness and disease is possible to be healed by the Spirit of the living God. Now you see, there's a lot more to it than that, of course. But the point is this, until you and I come to the conclusion that his word is to be relied upon because he is real and he's to be relied upon. Whoever comes to God must know that he is and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. He wants the best for us. That is the starting point for every blessing of God to be released into our lives. We have to come to that place. Otherwise, it will not fall from heaven. And the devil's job, of course, is to knock us off that pinnacle of belief with doubt and unbelief, you see. Negative circumstances, negative words, clever thinking, a whole array of subtle weapons. Spiritual warfare in high places, all designed to take you and I off this basic understanding of God and the veracity of his word. Why do you think so much has been invested in the whole evolution argument? A lot of money and a lot of effort has been poured into this whole hoax, as it were, in our educational system. What is that about? Who cares whether man evolved from a monkey or God created him? Well, a whole lot hinges on it. You see, if the seed of doubt can be planted in a mind that mankind wasn't really created, you see, just that little seed of doubt, the next fruit that comes from that seed is this understanding. Oh, well, you can't really believe the Bible. That's the edge of it. That's the whole purpose for it. You see, and once that seed of doubt about the veracity of God's word is planted, that will sabotage anybody's faith. I know of people who came to the place where they accepted the Lord Yeshua. They were saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the devil came with this little doubt in their minds. And what happened? You see, that seed of doubt poisoned their faith in the Word of God. And once that seed started to take root and grow, before long, they lost faith in God Himself and lost their salvation. I remember as a young Christian, newly born again, I was in a charismatic church, Anglican church actually, and I was completely ignorant of all these things. And I remember in the congregation was another young man who was studying theology at the time. I had a very brief discussion with him, and the essence of it was, he said, well, there's some things about the Bible that are not really true anymore. That's what he'd been taught. And I can remember as a young Christian, very young Christian, fresh as it were from the pit, the moment I heard him say these things, something inside me said, no, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And I realized, looking back, that was the Holy Spirit preserving me from going onto a path which would riddle my whole faith system with doubt and end up with me having some empty husk of intellectual, theological understanding and not the real thing. Brothers and sisters, this is so vital. You and I need to shed ourselves of any clever thinking. We have to be, as the Bible says, like babes. Childlike innocence when it comes to the Word of God. Do I understand how a snake spoke? No, I don't. Do I understand how a donkey spoke? No, I don't. Do I understand how the seas parted? No, I don't. Do I understand how God made this incredible world in a few days? I've got some ideas, but obviously nobody really can understand all of that this side of heaven. Do I understand how a man could die and then be raised up? No, I don't. Do I understand how somebody who had leprosy could just suddenly be healed, or how a man who was blind could suddenly see, or a man with a withered hand could extend his hand? Do I understand all these things? I don't understand them. I don't understand them. But you see, what I do understand is that God is able to do anything. Why? Because He is God. He made this universe. He made me. He made my brain. He's got more understanding than I'll ever have. And that God is quite capable of writing things in a book. And I've got that book in my hands. And I can read it. And I can choose to say, perhaps I don't understand. But God has said, and if God has said, that is good enough for me, I take it into my life. Can I just say, having that approach, I've seen a few miracles. I'd like to see a lot more. But the point is, if my heart had been closed, if my heart had said, no, it's impossible, let me close the book and rather read something from some other philosopher, I'd never have seen those miracles in my life. My plea to us is this. Let's not sabotage the power of God in our lives by trying to mix His word with our own human intellectual reasoning. There is a place for understanding. But let me say this. The place for understanding is the other side of believing. It doesn't mean that we can't understand things. It doesn't mean that the great miracles in the Bible can't be understood. probably even explained scientifically with advanced scientific knowledge. But God doesn't ask us to wait for that advanced scientific knowledge before we humbly believe. We choose. We make a choice based on the fact that God is real and He is able. And if He says all things are possible to him who believes, my job is to do everything I can to possibly believe so that He can achieve all things through me and my life can be effective for Him on this earth, which is exactly what He wants us to do. I pray that you'll be blessed by this message in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.